everyone. I'm Bryn. Welcome to Crime Cults and Coffee. This week on the podcast, nothing really new. I am recording in a new location at the moment in my home because we are currently painting where I usually record. So if the audio is a little different, that is why, but I feel like overall it probably should be about the same. I'm just closer to some windows, so you might hear some chirping, bugs outside, more of that kind of sound effect in the background. But aside from that, things shouldn't be that different. And I have nothing really to talk about other than recommendations, so I will jump into that before getting into the coffee recipe for the week. Recommendation-wise, I have actually not been listening to any books or reading any books this week, so nothing there. Podcast-wise, same thing. I've been listening to the same stuff I always do, so I'm not going to recommend anything new in that area, as well as I've been listening to a lot more music this week for some reason instead of podcasts. But show-wise, I know I've mentioned Justified before, and along with that, I started season 2 of The Bear last night on Hulu. So if you haven't watched The Bear, check it out. I love that show so much because I worked in the food industry for probably close to like 12 to 15 years. So the whole back end of that is very relatable. And the acting is excellent. At first, I have to admit, when I first started season 1 of that show, I was a little apprehensive. Towards the beginning of it, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like this, the way it's kind of filmed, or just in general, the whole theme of the show. But then I got halfway through that episode and I was hooked. So if you haven't watched The Bear, check that out. With that being said, let's get into the coffee recipe for the week. I am going to be giving you a coffee recipe of an iced nana latte. At first, when I found this, I was like, wait, oh my gosh, this is so cute, iced nana. But then I realized it has to do with bananas. I used to call my grandma Nana, so silly me thought it was like grandma style recipe or grandma coffee recipe. Because I had my Nana, aka Nanners, growing up. The immediate correlation for me was not bananas. And with this one, there are a couple alternatives. I'm going to give you two of the ones she talks about. It is a recipe from awhiskandtwowands.com. The recipes that she gives are for an iced Nana latte or an iced Nana mocha latte, which sounds so good. You can use different milk alternatives, different add-ins, espresso versus cold brew, etc. But I will tell you what she recommended for the basic Nana or Nana mocha latte recipe. So for the iced Nana latte, you are going to need 3/4 to 1 cup of non-dairy milk, 1/2 banana, and 2 to 3 shots of espresso, or 1/4 to 1/3 cup of cold brew, depending on what you're using, and ice. The instructions say to brew the espresso if making espresso. In a Vitamix or blender, blend together banana, milk, and any additional add-ins. For example, if you're making an iced Nana mocha, you can blend in chocolate or just swirl inside the glass and mix before or during drinking. You're then going to fill a glass 2/3 with ice and pour the banana milk mixture over the ice and pour your espresso or cold brew over the top and then sprinkle with cacao or cinnamon if desired and enjoy. And of course, if you're making the mocha version, you can also drizzle some chocolate syrup on top as well. So some things that she also wanted to make note of were, and I quote, I have used a variety of non-dairy milks, liking the thicker coconut milks and almond milks best. She also made note that if you are making the iced Nana mocha, to add 2 tablespoons of chocolate sauce or syrup, that's just her suggestion, and to make an iced Nana nitro cold brew, you can use 1/2 frozen banana and pour nitro cold brew over the top. And then aside from that, she said, to add a little extra, you can also put cinnamon in this drink. If you give this one a try, it is vegan and gluten-free as long as you use the non-dairy milk. And as always, if you do give it a try, post it, send a picture in a DM, tag Crime Colson Coffee. I want to see it. I want to know what you think. For this one right now, I am on the struggle bus randomly with bananas. For some reason, sometimes they give me acid reflux. Sometimes they help with it. So it depends on the day if I'm able to try this one, or I might have to wait a little bit. But if any of you do, please let me know how it is. I know bananas and coffee sound like a weird combo, but I also feel like it might be really, really good. And aside from that, I think we are ready to get into today's episode. So grab your coffee and have a morning with us. For this week's episode, I will be discussing urban legends. And this is our fourth urban legends episode, I believe. So hold on tight. The first urban legend that I'm going to be talking about is known as 100 Steps Cemetery, aka Carpenter Cemetery or Cloverland Cemetery. It's located a half mile south of Cloverland, Brazil, Indiana, and near 700 block of North County Road 675 West, which is south of US 40. It is on a hill overlooking County Road 675 West. I am clearly not from Indiana, but if you are familiar with the geographical location or live near the area, maybe you want to check it out. It contains grave sites for people from the American Civil War and was established around then in the 1860s. So it's super old. I will be discussing the 100 steps in a bit and the legends surrounding them, but I just wanted to point out that the original cemetery steps have been replaced due to damage over time. So getting into more of a background about the cemetery itself, in 1892, there was a known case of body snatching that occurred within the cemetery, and this is a quote from visitindiana.com, quote, "Body snatching, if you are unfamiliar, was an illegal but common practice in the 19th century. In the days before cadavers were donated on a regular basis to medical schools, resurrectionists would scour cemeteries for the recently deceased. And from there, the stolen bodies would then be sold to medical facilities." In reference to the 1892 body snatching, there may have been more than this, but this was a recorded incident. This cemetery is still an active cemetery as well, and is known as the most haunted cemetery in Indiana. So just like most of the urban legends that are covered on this podcast, there are some hauntings that come along with some of them, or so the legend goes. Speaking of legend, here is the one that comes along with the cemetery. According to legend, you must count 100 steps walking to the top of a staircase in the cemetery. This has to be at exactly midnight with a moonless sky, and when you reach the top, you are to turn around and look down the hill. If you do this, the ghost of a former caretaker is said to appear. This caretaker would then tell you your time of death and how you would die. No, thank you. You can choose to listen to the caretaker or leave without speaking to him. And apparently, in order to quote unquote leave alive from this caretaker, you must have done the 100 steps. If counted correctly, you may escape. And you may also be granted the chance to change your future in that situation. There are many other variations of the legend as it goes most of the time, because we all know that urban legends change, evolve, have added details, and whatnot over time. One of this specific version is that you shouldn't try to trick the caretaker. If you do, you could receive a forceful and painful blow where a mark is left on your body. And the mark is described as being a handprint or, quote, the mark of the devil. Other versions say you can also receive this handprint or mark from straying from the path or not counting your steps. Another says that after receiving the vision from the caretaker, you are to descend the steps and count while you go down. If the number at the bottom is the same as when you went up, the vision was wrong. If the number at the bottom is different from what you counted on the way up, the vision is correct with how the visitor will die. Another version says if you don't walk back down the steps after speaking with the caretaker, or if you take a different path aside from the steps, the ghost will push you down the steps to your death. In another version, which completely eliminated the aspect of the ghostly vision, you're supposed to walk the 100 steps up, counting as you go, and also at midnight, like the first version. But during this story, there is no caretaker that greets you. And I kind of like that better because that's creepy as fuck. But you are to walk back down the steps and count them for a second time. Legend says that on the way back down, you will reach a different number than on the way up. This is said to be caused by some kind of supernatural phenomenon. And fun fact, some versions of this urban legend are actually preserved in the folklore archives at Indiana State University. That was a little bit of a shorter legend, but I thought it was a fun one to include in this week's episode. And on top of that, especially with the ghostly vision and premonition or whatnot of the caretaker, I thought it was a different twist than normal and what has been told in the past. So I wanted to make sure to include this one on this week's episode. And because of that, I will continue on to a second urban legend. But first, if you are interested in checking out this cemetery or seeing if this urban legend is true, I do have information for their visiting hours. They make it somewhat difficult to carry out the legend nowadays. Some sites mention that visiting hours for the cemetery are dawn to dusk. Therefore, it would be illegal to be able to perform the rules of the legend at midnight to see if it would come true. However, there's other sites that mention the cemetery being open 24 hours. So if you are local, maybe go and check it out. I'm assuming the cemetery would probably have a sign out front with the actual hours, or people are definitely doing this illegally, which I do not recommend. But with that being said, moving forward on to this episode's second legend, which is the legend of the Goat Man. A little bit of history about this legend. The stories surrounding the Goat Man originated in the early 1970s, but some of the legends take place in the 1950s in Prince George's County, Maryland. However, quote, according to University of Maryland folklorist Barry Pearson, the Goatman legend began, quote-unquote, long, long, long ago and were further popularized in 1971. And that was a quote from Wiki. May 1971, George Lozama was a student at the University of Maryland, and for his undergrad folklore project, he wrote about the legend of the Goatman. Lozama's paper was soon added to the Maryland Folklife Archives, and according to Lozama, Goatman can be found on Tucker Road in Clinton, Maryland. October 1971, Goatman was reported on in Prince George's County News, and reporter Karen Hostler had found Lozama's paper in the archives. According to Hostler, Goatman can be found near Fletchertown Road in Bowie, Maryland. Her report also stated that Goatman originated from the Beltsville Agricultural Research Center, which I will get into. Not only this, but 2 weeks after reporting on Goatman, Hostler wrote another article. It was titled, quote, "Residents Fear Goatman Lives, Dog Found Decapitated in Old Bowie." A family with the last name Edwards had been searching for their missing dog and found her deceased and decapitated. Hostler said that on the night the dog went missing, a group of teenage girls, including the Edwards' 16-year-old daughter, heard strange noises, and saw a large creature of some sort. Aside from that, there was also mention of sightings around Fletchertown Road of an, quote, animal-like creature that walks on its hind legs. And that was a quote from Washingtonian.com. People that don't believe in the legend theorize that the dog could have actually been hit by a train. By November 1971, the Washington Post had covered the story, making Goatman nationally known. Another rumored location of Goatman is that it lives, quote, in a makeshift shelter in the wooded region of northwestern Prince George's County near the vicinity of Bowie. And that was a quote from Wiki. With all the places Goatman is reported to be seen in the county, most sightings are reported to be near Fletchertown Road and Lotsford Road. So at this point, you might be thinking, what the heck is Goatman and what does it look like? Well, I will tell you. It is said to have a human face and body covered in hair. Some versions describe it as a humanoid or some kind of entity covered in hair. Others describe it as half human, half goat, similar to a fawn in Greek mythology, or like Mr. Tumnus from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, good old Mr. Tumnus, but not as sweet as him. Mr. Tumnus would offer you a spot of tea, while Goatman is vicious and at times bloodthirsty. And to tie into that, there are also versions where Goatman has a goat upper body and human lower half, so kind of the opposite. So maybe this version is more like a depiction of Satan. Picture Satan from Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Goat head, human lower half. Moving into the legend of Goatman and what he actually does. Again, there's many different versions of this legend. One states that Goatman had originally been a scientist that worked for Beltsville Agricultural Research Center. Remember, I mentioned that place earlier. While working at this research center, the scientist had been experimenting on goats when things went terribly wrong. The scientist was mutated into half man, half goat, and for whatever reason, this now creature left the facility and started to attack cars around Beltsville, Maryland. A separate legend says it is an evil spirit named Oki, which comes from Native American beliefs. One says Goatman is an angry goat herder that went insane. According to legend, he went crazy after finding his flock of goats dead, and their deaths were caused by teenagers, and now he's out there seeking revenge. So many versions of this one, and the legend only continues. Another version said that Goatman was a hermit that lived in the woods and would be spotted walking along Fletchertown Road at night. He has also been compared to the likes of Bigfoot, so almost like some kind of cryptid figure. As mentioned, Goatman has been blamed for disappearances and deaths of dogs in Prince George's County, as is stated in legend. Other people have claimed to have sightings of Goatman, some of which included the creature rushing at cars and hitting them with an axe or a rock. Imagine that freaking thing, cryptid, humanoid, entity, whatever it may be, half man, half goat, whether it's a human face and a goat body or a goat face and a human body, I do not care. If I ever saw something like that rushing at my car with an axe or a rock, I think I would probably drop dead on the spot because that is absolutely terrifying. Some happenings surrounding Goatman also include it attacking couples, most specifically at local lovers' lanes, and chasing teenagers. He is said to make strange noises as well, like yelling and squealing. Also goat noises, of course. That wasn't me. I'm not that talented. But as cute as that may sound, I'm sure it's really not cute. If legend tells correctly, it's coming from like a grown man cryptid thing. That That's not cute. The legend continues. The legend of Goatman has continued to be passed down over generations, and sightings are still discussed and reported. Parents have been known to use Goatman over the years as a behavioral tactic or way to keep them from wandering, them meaning their children. For example, quote, Goatman will get you if you misbehave. And that is trauma inducing. I feel like it's so similar to, there was one story Kelsey and I believe told, either that or I've heard it on another podcast, but I feel like we had told it before, where parents were hiring this clown named Wrinkles the Clown to scare their misbehaving children. Like, they would literally have him call up and terrify them, or just do nightmare inducing things where he would say he was going to come get them or whatever if they didn't behave. Spotting Goatman is apparently described as an obsession amongst teens. Some refer to it as quote unquote Goatman hunting, and teens have Goatman parties on Fletchertown Road as well as other nearby spots. This is currently happening and has been happening for years. The legend of Goatman has inspired a movie called Deadly Detour, a British documentary, and an X-Files episode. And that is the story of the Goatman. So let me know if you've heard that one before. If you haven't, what you think. Do you think it would be creepier if he looked like Mr. Tumnus but was evil, or straight up Satan? What do you think is creepier? I want to know. Goat body, human head, or goat head, human body? I'm going to put up a poll. And sadly, short but sweet, that is today's episode of Urban Legends. I hope you enjoyed, and I'm going to get into the spiel. You can find Crime Cults and Coffee on Instagram. That's where I post the pictures of coffee reviewed, any past coffee reviews, past episodes, really important information regarding the podcast, merch, or fun listener story reposts. You can find those in the highlights on the Instagram page. The link tree in the bio has most of the listening platforms that this podcast is on. If you go to Facebook at Crime Cults and Coffee, that's where I put any resources, photos, links, calls to action pertaining to the episode that you're listening to. Calls to action, as always, I mentioned, can also always be found in the episode show notes. This week does not come with a call to action. I'm not going to tell you to terrify your children into oblivion by threatening them with a clown or a Goatman story. That's just not the case. So no calls to action for this week, unless you want to go back to past episodes and do something where you can with information provided in those episodes. If you have a listener story or case suggestion, you can email me at crimecultsandcoffee@gmail.com or DM me on Instagram at crimecultsandcoffee. There are still some of you that need to be held accountable for your listener stories. And you can also send to either email or DM listener art as well if you have any for me. I appreciate it. I love it. If you want to draw Goatman, your version of Goatman, whether it be Mr. Tumnus or Satan himself, go for it. If you would be so kind, if you like listening to this podcast, besides telling your friends, telling your family, and making these stories known, you can leave a rate and review if you're able. This would be on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, any platform that allows you to do so. If you're listening on a platform that you can't do that on, or you just don't want to, on any listening platform of your choice, you can like, you can follow, you can subscribe, and that will let you know when new episodes come out each week. And before we end today's episode, I just thought it's something that I want to tell because I was debating telling this story. It's very brief and you might not think it's that funny, but I keep thinking about it and I'm like, I cannot end this episode without telling it. And if Kelsey's listening, she'll appreciate it, although my brother may not. In regards to Mr. Tumnus, always think of my brother Carson because years ago, him and Kelsey went on a trip somewhere and they went on a walk in the wintry woods. It was snow filled. And they sent me this video of my brother running through the woods, prancing, kind of looking like Mr. Tumnus with no shirt on and a scarf wrapped around his neck. And he was like hiding behind the trees. It was just freaking hilarious. So I just had to mention that because this episode, obviously, I referenced Mr. Tumnus a couple times. And I was a huge fan of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe growing up. Those movies I loved, and I used to always watch them with my siblings. And the fact that there's this legend where this cryptid creature thing could potentially look like Mr. Tumnus, all I can think about is my brother running through the woods. So shout out Carson, aka Mr. Tumnus, the OG. That Mr. Tumnus would serve you a spot of tea. So again, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode, and until next week. Bye. Regarding this case and our resources,
follow us at Crime Cults and Coffee on Instagram and Facebook.